It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic, also joining us from NDNation.com, Mike Coffey. All right, Coffey, I'll start with you. Even though Ed was not on the last one, I'm going to jump ship back to you because I think this will be interesting. Third undefeated season for Brian Kelly. Who would have thought 10 years into this, we'd be talking about that? And here we are. So hats off to him.
Yeah, it's incredible. Definitely. Who would have thought after if you would have told me in December of 2016, hey, by the way, two of the next three regular seasons are going to be undefeated, and chances are Notre Dame's going to make the playoffs. And so I would have bet all the folding money I could get my hands on that you were wrong. But I, like you said, hats off to Brian. I think from everything that I have read, it seems like that season was a wake-up call for him, and he decided, okay, I need to change the way I do things, and he certainly changed them for the better. I think there's a lot more camaraderie on the sidelines, there's a lot more camaraderie in the locker room, and that kind of thing leads to success on the field. When you have coaches and players that interact well together, you have coaches that interact well together, it's easier to game plan, it's easier to see what the other folks want you to do, and that by nature leads to success.
Yeah, no doubt. And if I read right, Ed, in terms of recruiting, there's really only one kid that hasn't signed with us yet, right? I mean, the running back that's considering LSU now, I guess. He got an offer December 9th.
Well, the kid who's considering Michigan State also.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Him as well. But, you know, another top 10 solid recruiting class coming in. So, I mean, the wheels keep rolling.
Yeah, and I think, you know, sort of what was maybe missing and seems to be showing up in each of these classes is at least two or three guys that have the potential to be sort of really big time playmakers, you know, like whether it's Styles from Ohio or Colley, the linebacker, you know, who knows how they'll pan out. This is always kind of right. Like silly season in terms of evaluation, but you got to at least have a few of those guys in each class that could be, you know, a Mayer or that could be a Hamilton or that could be, and I'm not saying those guys will rise to that level, but you got to at least swing for some of those guys and get them. And then because they, you know, if you want to compete with Ohio State and Clemson and Alabama, you're not going to have, I mean, I saw some crazy statistic this week, something like, you know, of the 105 stars in the last, whatever, 3 or 4 years, like 68 of them are at those schools. You know, I mean, really dramatic, or, you know, that's crazy. But I just think that the best part of the season is, you know, we played Clemson and beat them straight up. We got another chance to do that. And I don't see any reason why we won't get a chance to probably play, you know, Ohio State or Alabama before this is over. You know, if we lose Saturday, we'll probably play, I think we'll probably play Alabama, you know, in the semifinal. If we win, we'll probably play Ohio State in the other semifinal. And those are just, you know, those are the benchmarks for college football these days, whether we like it or not. And we'll learn a lot about, a lot more about, you know, how we stack up. And that's what we want, right? That's what we want. We want to be in the mix, and we want to be playing those teams for things that matter. And that's, I think, the gift that Brian Kelly has given us is, you know, he's gotten us to that level where, whether you want to call it a puncher's chance or whether you want to say we're knocking on the door of that tier or whatever you want to, however you want to describe it, you know, we're probably, I don't know, I think the odds makers would, you know, give us not an even money shot, but, you know, 4-1, 5-1 odds to win the national championship this year out of the teams that are left.
Well, they do have us down. What is it? 7.5 points on Saturday. Coffee.
It was 10.5. But I agree. I agree 100% with what Ed's saying. With one exception, I don't think anybody is beating Alabama this year. I mean, the only chance Notre Dame has is not to face them in the first round. If you give their army of analysts 3 weeks to prepare for you, you're screwed. But if it's just 1 week or whatever the space is between the first round and championship,
like 10 days. Yeah.
Maybe
there's a definite advantage there. I think you're right. That's an absolute advantage, but let's stick to the Clemson game. Cause I'm kind of curious as your thoughts. I mean, Ed, I don't know, my gut, I don't know why, but usually when I go into a game like this, I kind of have a sense. Sometimes I kind of know what's going to happen and I don't want to admit it to myself, but man, to me, it seems completely wide open. I don't know what to expect. I mean, we could beat Clemson. I totally think we've done it. You got Trevor Lawrence, who's now going to try and, you know, put a stake for himself that, hey, I wasn't there for the first game. That's, you know, I'm going to prove myself here. But I think anything could happen in this game. You just never know, including a 14-point loss by us. I mean, I think that's conceivable. It's not out of the realm. But I also think a 10-point win is not out of the realm. I mean, anything could happen this Saturday. Do you have any thoughts as to what you're leaning?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. This team is always sort of for whatever reason, it's the calmest I've felt watching Notre Dame football in a long time. I mean, I actually expect them to play well. Doesn't mean that they're going to win, but I think like any big game against an opponent like this, you know, you got to get through the first quarter, right? Because they're going to come out, you know, they have more pressure on them than Notre Dame does. I mean, they're potentially out of the playoff if they lose. I don't think we have that quite that much risk, but it's kind of funny because I don't know if we go back and one of the things that I talked about before the first Clemson game was the idea that all the focus was on Etienne, however you say his name, and that I thought the game had the potential for being a breakout for Notre Dame's running back, who was not getting the attention that the Clemson guy was. And I think the same thing holds, you know, all the attention is going to be on Trevor Lawrence on Saturday. And, you know, I could easily see, you know, Ian Book playing. I mean, he's taken it to another level in the last 4 or 5 weeks. We've all seen it in terms of his decision-making, in terms of his ability to extend plays and to find, you know, he's clicked with receivers a little bit better. And he's made plays with his legs. He's in a good groove. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if coming out of Saturday, he's the story about, and Trevor Lawrence isn't. So I don't know. I think it lines up pretty well. And, I think Notre Dame should play loose. I think they've got some other things in their corner too. Like, you know, I think there's a lot of pride there. It's obviously that this team really likes Clark Lee, whether you're on offense or defense or special teams, whether you're a fellow coach, whether you're a guy that's fourth string or whether you're one of his starters. And I think that there's probably a little bit of sense of like, you know, they really want to play well for this guy. So I expect the defense to step it up a little bit because they have looked a little ragged over the last couple of games at times. And I think, you know, hopefully they've sharpened up a little bit. So I expect it to be a really even game and hopefully, you know, go down to the last 5 or 6 minutes, just like the last one.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I mean, like I said, I think anything can happen in this game. We have been a second half team, Coffee, and for some reason we make really good adjustments, both offensively and defensively in that second half. But really quick, while Ed mentioned it, are you nervous at all about Clark Lee? Do you think there's anything to that? Or, I mean, is this his last game at Notre Dame, you think?
Regular season? Absolutely. He's been hired by Vanderbilt. So.
Oh, I said I didn't see that. I missed that.
He's staying for the rest of the season, obviously, until Notre Dame's out, however long that lasts. But yeah, he's going to be the head coach of Vanderbilt next year. So I think.
Good for him.
Oh no, and top programs have to be used to this kind of. I mean, look at how much turnover. Saban has at Alabama. Yeah. Look at now. Granted, you read a lot of stories about how Dabo Swinney doesn't have a lot of turnover because they've created this family atmosphere, and there's something to be said for that. But an up and coming coach is going to want to rise as high as his talent would allow him to rise. I mean, there's a school of thought that says it's great that Lee is leaving now. He can go to Vanderbilt. Three or four seasons from now, if you're at Vanderbilt and you get to 500, you've really got the chops. So the thought is, okay, he goes to Vanderbilt, 3 or 4 years, if he's got them humming along, Notre Dame hires him back as head coach when Brian Kelly retires. So there's certainly a way that can go. There might be a concern, like, is it going to be a distraction? I don't think there is, because it's resolved. He's going to Vanderbilt. He's going to be the head coach there. So the players know that this is their last hurrah. I don't think he's going to be distracted as far as setting up staff and stuff like that. You can delegate that sort of thing. Plus, when you're facing a team for the second time in a season, which I didn't realize this is the first time this is happening in the ACC championship game. I don't know how they've avoided it previously, but facing a team for the second time, I think the game planning is different. And one thing I would like to see Notre Dame do differently this Saturday is they didn't pressure Clemson on defense a lot until the overtime. You didn't see a lot of blitzes. They were trying to make things happen with the front floor or the front four, and that freshman just had a monster of a game. You can't let Trevor Lawrence have a game like that. I mean, I think they're really going to have to I think Lee's going to have to dial up some blitzes and just try to get to him early and keep him uncomfortable, because you let him get into a rhythm, he's just going to pick you apart. And I don't think
I was in the secondary to do that. Thing. Ed, just because, you know, in terms of Trevor Lawrence, you don't want him to get into that groove. And I think early on, we probably are going to see some pressure applied to him. I'll be shocked if we don't send a lot early and often at Lawrence, because I think if he does get set and get going, you know, in that title game, until Love went out, I mean, I thought he was rattled, to be honest with you. I mean, I thought in late in that first quarter, it looked like he was not totally sure of himself. And so I think we need to do everything we can, because it is going to be the best defense he's faced. I mean, I don't know who else Lawrence played. He hasn't seen anything like us. So I think you got to put that pressure on right away. Otherwise, look out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still think the formula is bottling up, you know, number nine. I mean, I think, you know, I'd much rather put them in a situation where, you know, they get in the red zone and they have to complete touchdown passes to score touchdowns than that guy, you know, breaking off, you know, 15, 20, 30 yard runs. If we can keep him, you know, kind of in that, you know, 50 to 60 total yards thing and on, you know, 18 carries or something like that, like we did last time, or it was even worse than that. You know, I really like our chances, because I just think that we've demonstrated throughout the course of the year that this is a defense that's really good on third down. And you don't have to, you know, if they're 5 for 15 on third down, you win the game. You know, if they're 4 for 12 on third down, you probably win the game. So just, you know, I think we're saying the same things. I don't know how you put continue to use that formula of putting Lawrence in third and seven, third and eight, third and nine situations, and then take your chances, you know, and see. And like you said, you know, selective blitzes, kind of confusing blitzes, sort of delayed things. He's pretty mobile. We shouldn't underestimate his ability to extend plays and run himself, but he doesn't like to, I don't think. And, you know, in the back of his mind, he's already looking at, apartments on the Upper West Side for his Jets debut. So, that's right.
To be said for that. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, if you're his agent, you sure as hell aren't telling him, hey, tuck and run every time you get a chance. I mean, you aren't going to see that, but it is going to get interesting, because I think that is going to now come into play more so than ever before. Right. I mean, I think a lot of guys are going to say to themselves, more than ever, this is the one bowl season you don't want to risk it.
Right.
And, it's going to be interesting. But I agree with you. I mean, I'll be shocked if we hold ETN to 50 yards again. I don't see that happening. He's just too damn good of a back. I think he's going to break one on us. But if we can just limit it to that one, I'd be happy as hell.
I think we can. I think ETN overall is having a down year compared to previous years. I think a lot of defenses are focusing on him because they figure, okay, Clemson isn't as talented at the wideout position as they have been in years past. So maybe we focus on Etienne and our defensive guys can slow down their wide receivers. Now, it's not necessarily, I think that worked the first time to an extent. Now, is it going to work with Lawrence at quarterback and not the freshman? That's kind of remains to be seen. Yeah.
And, you know, our first game was kind of a coming out party for Powell, or for their wide receiver. He really sort of jumped on as their main playmaker. And he's had, you know, I don't know how many touchdowns he's had since then. I mean, he's really been their go-to guy on the edge. So the thing about Clemson this year that I think is a little bit easier to defend is, you know, you can really hone in on their weapons. You really know what they are. You know, it's basically Lawrence, Etienne, and now Powell. I mean, they really don't, you know, they don't have a tight end that you've really got to, you know, that's a game breaker. They don't have another slot guy or another receiver. I mean, they probably do, but I don't think who knows, maybe they'll have their moment in the sun against us. But I think, you know, you can kind of come up with a game plan. And again, then you have to go out and do it. But I'm a little bit more, you know, I'm a little bit more interested in terms of how the offensive line, our offensive line performs. You know, I think, you know, I mean, Jared Patterson was a big loss. I mean, he was having one heck of a football season. And, you know, I think they figured that out. Hopefully Kramer's 100%. But, you know, that offensive line was hitting on all cylinders when we got to Clemson. You know, they had 6-7 games under their belt. They were really in sync. And you talk to anybody who coaches the offensive line or who watches offensive line. So, you know, and it's really not about the individual components. It's really about the synchronization of those five guys. You know, I don't think we have a Stanley or a Martin or a Nelson on this line, but it's probably the best line that we've had just in terms of the sum of the parts. And, you know, and I'm saying that, you know, as, you know, including Patterson. So I think these last, you know, that's why this off week, I think, was so important, was to sort of get that ironed out. And, you know, Correll, if he's the guy, you know, if they perform like they did, whatever, 4 or 5 weeks ago, then, you know, that really is I think going to be a really key part of this game, because they were fantastic. You know, they were just super. And, you know, Clemson's got some guys back on defense. And so, you know, I don't know. I'm a little bit like, you know, it's kind of, we tried to work Lindsey in the last couple of weeks. That didn't really go well. He didn't really do anything. No. You know, so we've got to have McKinley and Scrum. You know, it has to be a really good sort of, you know, use everything on offense. You know, you're going to have a guy like Joe Wilkins make a play. You know, you're going to have a guy like Tyree need to make a play. You know, everybody's got to come to the table and bring something to it if we want to score something like 35, 40 points again, which we'll probably have to do to win.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. Well, let's start there. Coffee, why don't you take a shot? What's your prediction?
My prediction, ND wins 27-24, last minute field goal.
Nice. I was actually going to go with 33-30 with Notre Dame in a late score. Ed, what do you think?
You know, I really like those calls, but I'll go sort of like – kind of against the grade, and just say that, you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, Clemson has been so good, you know, maybe this is just not their year. And we're in the right place at the right time. And, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say Notre Dame wins 35-20.
Wow.
Okay.
I'll take that all day long.
Right.
How to put a nail in your coffin.
Maybe, you know, Lawrence, you know, kind of takes a pretty big hit somewhere in the middle of the second quarter.
Third quarter or something.
Yeah, it doesn't play in the second half, and we got DJ figured out. And, you know, so, yeah, I'm going to say 35-20. What the hell?
Nice.
Well, you know, and I do have to say, if our picks come to fruition, I think that'll be another improvement that we've seen. It seems like every season since 2017 and beyond, it's like and he takes one step forward. It's they're not losing to the teams they should beat now. They got a couple, like going to UNC, getting a big win on the road. Now they got to get the postseason pucker off their list. Yeah. They need to show that they can go into a postseason game, not only represent, but hopefully win. I mean, if we come up and let's say Clemson wins like 30-24 or something like that, okay, that's a big improvement over 30-3 and 42 to whatever that was in 2012 and stuff like that. That's the next step that Notre Dame needs to take, and they have an opportunity to do it on Saturday.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, let's hope for the best. It'll be interesting to see the next show and where this all lays out, because I think it's going to be pretty indicative, like you say, if we have taken that next step and where we head into the playoffs. I'll be shocked if we don't get into the playoffs. I don't see how that's going to happen, but we'd have to really lay an egg on Saturday, and we're not that kind of team. I think we're going to compete. It's just we're going to catch a couple breaks here and there, and are some guys going to make some big plays, like you said, Ed? We need a couple guys to step up, make some plays, and hopefully not have to overcome a book fumble into the end zone late.
Yeah,
in the game.
That's the thing is we left a fair amount of points on that.
Yeah, Mayer dropped that one. I mean, fourth down we jumped off sides. I mean, there was a lot of things we left on the table.
If we play a clean game, and there were, like you said, there's always these guys that, and we've got these guys that, whether it's Kaiser on defense or whether it's, Sean Crawford, in the first game, McKinley, made some terrific plays. Right. So Mayer wants to play better because he had a little bit of shaking. It's a relatively, young team in some key spots. And I think that's, they're fearless. And I think that's what you always have to have to get over the hump against the Clemsons and the Ohio States and the Alabamas. You just got to come in with this, why not us mindset? Why can't we win? I mean, and I think beating them in overtime, double overtime that first time, was a huge psychological lift just to the overall mentality of how you approach games like this. And so I expect them to play fast and loose and I could see them, playing one of their, maybe their best game of the year. I could really see it. I hope I'm right.
All right, let's hope so. We'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanik and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.